pounds when I go out of town. It's the course is saying when you want to delay your happiness, you always put it in the future. Got it? So based on that, where are you on the scale? Are you a person that's really now finally ready to be happy because you're taking responsibility for your happiness? Or are you still a person who can give me a million reasons as to why it's somebody else and something else that's the cause of your unhappiness? Because the only thing you reveal with that is whether you're ready to continue to have the situation that's upsetting you or whether you're ready to have it ended. That's the only thing you answer in those two questions. A person who takes responsibility for their experience is ready to have it now. The person that still projects and blames and sees it as somebody else still is in their punishment cycle, and therefore they're not going to allow themselves to have peace until they punish themselves a little more for something they think they did in the past that they may not even be aware of. Guilt is a request for punishment.
So that goes along with, like you said, being responsible for your own happiness, and also probably goes to acting with integrity, so that when you act with integrity, you minimize the risk of guilt, right?
Sure. But the main thing that I would invite you to remember is that when you take responsibility for your experience, you're going to allow happiness to come into your experience faster, because acting in integrity still is a loaded statement. Your integrity might not be my integrity. What you call integrity might not be my integrity. So when you hear statements like morals, like the moral this and the moral that, that's such a personal judgment what morality is. So don't think in terms of morality. Think in terms of whether or not it's going to get you what you want. And then the court says then you'll really change your behavior. Bad and good doesn't change behavior. Saying that I shouldn't do this because it's bad does not change behavior, because if it feels good, it's probably going to win out. Feel good usually wins over bad every time. I'll deal with the bad later, after the feel good. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. So you know that I shouldn't do this because it's not right don't mean nothing, really. You know, but I shouldn't do this because it's not going to work. I might give it some consideration if it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? This poison may taste good, but it's going to kill me, so I might not take it. See, it's not going to work. It's not going to give me life. So you have to go beyond the pleasure you think you are experiencing from something to whether or not that thing is actually going to help you accomplish your goal. Because pleasure is not the judgment to use. Is it going to get me what I want? And then it says, let's loop back. Well, what is it that you want? I want peace. What is peace? Total fulfillment. Not looking at your navel in the mountainside. Its core says peace is complete fulfillment. Just take a minute to just think about that. Complete fulfillment. Just to say that feels good. Complete fulfillment. That's peace. When I'm in a peaceful relationship, I'm in a completely fulfilling relationship. When I'm in a peaceful financial situation, I'm in a completely fulfilling financial situation. When I'm in a peaceful relationship with God, I'm in a completely fulfilling relationship with love. Because that's the same thing. See what I'm saying? So think in terms of total fulfillment when you think of peace, rather than thinking that peace means this. Because there are a lot of people that never approach anything that's metaphysical or spiritual or anything like that because of that definition of peace. Because everybody's not quiet, and everybody's not, don't sit around like this, and this is cool. But sometimes people who are physically quiet think that means they're more spiritually evolved. And it doesn't mean that at all. Sometimes that's just an excuse because the person is afraid of aliveness, and afraid of their body, and afraid of being in their body, and afraid of moving in their body. You know, a person that thinks they can't dance or a person that thinks they can't move is certainly going to associate peace with being still. And that's just going to feel threatened by people who are jumping around and partying like a big dog. Right? So it's not really that the people that are partying like a big dog aren't also exemplifying peace. It's just that that's threatening to you if you feel like you can't do it. And so then you make your way of being the standard for everyone else. And herein lies the problem in the world. Yes, and then here comes the judgment. Because I'm going to definitely set it up that the way I already am is the way to be, because that pretty much guarantees I don't have to put no effort into changing. Right? Yeah. And then that's about everybody else changing to just to me. And then that's where hell begins. Oh, got it? That's where hell starts. As soon as you want to adjust everybody's behavior to your way of doing it. Because you have no control over that. See, we write back to peace. Where does peace come from? The mind. How? And so therefore my peace has to come from within my mind. And how do I get peace within my mind? By the types of perceptions I have. Which are thoughts, right? And a perception, the Course says, is an interpretation. So your peace comes from the interpretations that you are giving to your experience. Your peace comes from your interpretations that you're giving to your experience, not from the experience. Okay, so we're going to go on. He says, now, never lose sight of this. Never lose sight of what?
Peace.
The peace. The peace is the goal, right? He says, now this is why. He says, don't even believe for an instant that there's any other answer other than trying to do the thing that's going to bring the most peace. Don't even for an instant entertain the thought that there's anything other than peace. It's like I was in a dilemma the other day, just like anybody else is, and my ego is just as big as anybody else's ego. I just got more ammunition. Because I've been doing this a long time, but it still comes up. Because as long as you're on the planet, you're going to have your lessons coming at you from the level you're on. So it never stops if you're here. What happens, though, that's cool, is that the hardest part is the beginning. So the longer you're on your path, the easier it should be for you to keep your peace. And the hardest stage is not the further you go along, the more complicated it gets, which is the kind of way we look at it. Like, I start off with a white belt, and then I work up to a black belt. So we like think it's all about, it gets more complicated as you begin to evolve. The truth says just the opposite. It starts off as hard as it's ever going to be, and then it gets easier and easier in terms of you changing your perception, because the hardest part is the beginning. You know why? Because beginning means get started. Actually getting started is the hardest part, isn't it? I mean, for real. I mean, really getting started. Some of us are still contemplating getting started on the course, and you've been contemplating it for months. You see what I'm saying? You haven't actually started. You're still trying to make a decision whether or not you're going to start or not. And you'll say, well, I've been studying the course for 4 months. No, you've only been studying the course for 4 months if you're reading the text and doing the workbook. That's not the same as doing it. That's how you do the course. You read the book and you do it, the workbook. The reason why I'm saying this is because I don't want you to get disappointed because you don't get all the results that you want from not actually doing the thing that you need to do to get the result. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you, but watching somebody ice skate will never make you be able to do it. Okay. But it's good to know ice skating is possible, and it's good to see that a person can learn how to ice skate and that you're totally capable of it because you're human just like that person. So the cool thing about having a living example is that it allows you to realize what you're capable of if you're willing to do it. So at least you won't be headed for the impossible. Like if I go, I want to fly under my own power. Well, there's nobody I'm looking around this room that flies under their own powers. But if I saw you flying under your own power, then I'd be more likely to believe it. That's when I first did the firewalk. That was the reason why I did the firewalk. I went to the firewalk and wasn't even intending to do the firewalk. I kind of thought the people that were getting ready to do the firewalk were crazy. But yet we made the fire. It wasn't a fake fire because I helped make it. And so I'm looking at the thing, and the coals are red hot and white hot, and we had a little workshop that was kind of explained to us about the principles of it, and following your heart, and if you really felt like it was time and it was right for you to walk out on the coals, you walk out on the coals, and if you didn't feel like it, then honor yourself and don't walk out on the coals, and oh yes, sign this release form. So I saw my partner who we had the spiritual center in Memphis together, and I saw her go out and walk. She walked across the, even had a reporter from the newspaper, the major newspaper there, to interview us psychos. Because this was in Memphis, this is in Memphis, Tennessee. And Memphis, Tennessee is the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. There's a buckle, and then there's the belt. In Memphis, it's the buckle of the belt. Okay? There are Baptist churches in Memphis with 25,000 members. To give you some idea, these people are serious about their sin. Okay? They're not kidding around on the sin part of the thing. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So anyway, I saw my friend do it, and so I said, all right. So I walked out. And I walked on this barefooted.